If you have your Bible with you this evening, we're turning to 1 Samuel chapter 3, that portion of scripture that Dr. Douglas read just a few moments ago. And there's another text of scripture I want to read. It's found in Exodus chapter 5. As you're looking up the place, could I say it's a great privilege to be here. And we have been praying much for the mission. And I would indeed exhort you to pray for us as we would seek to preach night by night, that the Lord will be pleased to give us a word in season. And pray that the Lord will speak to hearts. And even tonight, that the Lord will reach down and save many precious, precious souls. The Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." And may we be wise servants in these days, seeking to win the lost for Christ. I just want to read one verse from 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's verse 10. Though do keep the Bible opened at this portion of scripture, because we will be making reference to it in the course of our preaching. "And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth." And then Exodus chapter 5, and it's the verse 2. "And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Amen. We know the Lord will again bless the reading, the short reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to preach God's word tonight. And we need the help of the Lord. And we need the Lord to come and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. And child of God, you pray just now that the Lord will come and speak through the preaching of God's precious word. Father in heaven, we bow before thee this evening. And we thank thee and we praise thee for your presence here. And we thank thee, Lord, for the precious word of God that is open before us. We know, Lord, that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And, O God, we pray for those in our meeting tonight who are still strangers to grace and to God, that even tonight, Lord, you would reach down and save them by your grace. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. O Lord, indeed, you have said that we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. And, O God, we realize that even tonight there's been folk here in the church and their circumstances have changed because of this accident. O God, we don't know what a day may bring forth. But, Lord, we thank thee that when we're saved and trusting in Christ and redeemed by the precious blood, then, praise God, we can face whatever circumstances are before us. Lord, we pray tonight that there might be those in this meeting this evening who will come and seek the Lord and find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Very simply tonight, I want to draw your attention to two men in the Bible. The names of these two men are Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and Samuel, the prophet of God. We read about Pharaoh in the book of Exodus. And of course we read about Samuel in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. These two men that we want to consider tonight, they never met each other. They never spoke to each other. Indeed, Pharaoh the king of Egypt was dead over 300 years before Samuel was born. Pharaoh was a very wicked and sinful man. He was the one, of course, that refused to let the children of Israel go into the wilderness in order to worship the Lord. On the other hand, Samuel was a very godly man, one who loved the Lord with all his heart. He was a man who served God faithfully and unashamedly. Pharaoh hated the Lord. Samuel loved the Lord. Pharaoh despised the children of Israel. Samuel prayed for the children of Israel. Pharaoh tonight is in hell. Samuel tonight is in heaven. Indeed, as you study the lives of these two men, There seems to be quite a contrast and difference between them. And so there is. However, when you study and look at their lives a little bit closer, you discover that they had certain things in common. Now you might say to me, well, preacher, what does a godly man like Samuel have in common with an ungodly man like Pharaoh, king of Egypt? What has a godly man like Samuel, who served God all his life, got in common with an ungodly man like Pharaoh, who served the devil all his life? Surely there can be no comparison. Friend, as far as their faithfulness to God is concerned, there is no comparison. But when you consider and study their lives and look at their lives a little bit closer, there are certain things that the Bible tells us of that these two men had in common. And very simply tonight, at the close of this gospel service, that's what I want to preach about. And my friend, if you're found here and you're not saved, you're not born again of the Spirit of God, I want you to listen very carefully to this message this evening, because I do believe that there's a message here for your heart. Because we're going to find out tonight, not only had Pharaoh and Samuel certain things in common, but we're going to find out tonight that we all have certain things in common. All of us, each and every one of us. And I pray that the Lord this evening will write His word upon your heart and upon your soul. Now, what had Pharaoh and Samuel in common? Well, first of all, you will notice, and I want you to take a look at Exodus chapter 5 here, first of all. You'll notice, first of all, that there was a time in both of their lives, in the life of Samuel and in the life of Pharaoh, when they did not know the Lord. That's the first thing that these two men had in common. Look what it says there in verse 2 of Exodus chapter 5. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord." Here we have Pharaoh's own testimony. This man here is speaking. And his testimony is simple, and his testimony is clear, and it's this: he did not know the Lord. Now, of course, Pharaoh never did know the Lord. He died not knowing the Lord. He went to hell not knowing the Lord. He spent his whole life not knowing the Lord. But you know, men and women, there was a time in Samuel's life when he did not know the Lord. Keep your hand in Exodus chapter 5 and turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the life of Samuel. But for those who are not, let me say a number of things. When you study the life of Samuel, you discover that he had godly parents. His mother, Hannah, prayed for him even before he was born. And not only had he godly parents, godly mother, who prayed for him before he was born, but he was presented as a child before the Lord. He was brought up into the temple and presented as a child before the Lord. He had the knowledge of the scriptures in his head. And the Bible tells us that he worked in the temple and was brought up in the house of God as a child. And you will find those facts recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 2, and 3. But you know, there's something significant that the Bible tells us about Samuel. Although he had godly parents, although he was presented to the Lord as a child, although he had the knowledge of the scriptures in his head, although he was brought up in the temple and worked in the temple as a child, we read there in verse 7 these words: "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Pharaoh and Samuel had this in common. There was a time in both of their lives when they did not know the Lord. My friend, let me ask you a very simple question tonight. Do you know the Lord? Are you saved by the grace of God? Can you look back to a day in your life when you were born again of the Spirit of God, when you met the Lord and He saved you for time and for eternity? You know, the truth is, it doesn't matter whether you've been brought up in an ungodly home or a Christian home. It doesn't matter whether you come to church every week or whether you never come to church. And maybe there's people here tonight and this is your first time under the sound of the gospel for many years. The question is not, do you come to church every week? And it's commendable to come to God's house every week. And it's commendable to come under the sound of God's word week by week. But the question is not, do you come to church every week? The question is not, have you been brought up in a Christian home? The question tonight is, do you know the Lord as your own and personal Savior? You see, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Pharaoh was a wicked king. He was a totally ungodly man. His testimony was that he didn't know the Lord. We have already emphasized he died not knowing the Lord. He spent his life not knowing the Lord. But Samuel did not know the Lord either. There was a time in his life when he did not know the Lord. Before he met the Lord and before he was saved by the grace of God. Maybe there's someone here tonight. And maybe you've been brought up in a Christian home. And maybe you have been taught the scriptures right from your earliest Sunday school days. And you have the knowledge of the scriptures in your head. And when Sunday comes around, you wouldn't even think of not going to God's house to listen to the preaching of God's word. And yet as you sit in this meeting tonight, you have to honestly confess that you don't know the Lord. My friend, I'm not asking you, do you know about the Lord? I'm asking you, do you know the Lord? Can you look back to a day in your life when you were saved by the grace of God? If you cannot, then I pray that in this mission, that in this meeting tonight even, that you will come to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Because I'll tell you this, once you meet the Lord, and once the Lord reaches down and saves your precious soul, your life will be changed and will be different forever and forever. Now there's something else I want you to notice. Turn back to Exodus chapter 5 again, and you'll see something else here. Something else that these two men had in common. Not only was there a time in both of their lives when they did not know the Lord, but you'll notice that there was a time in both of their lives when they heard the voice of God. Take a look what it says there in Exodus 5 verse 2. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Pharaoh here acknowledges that the Lord is speaking to him. Now, if you're familiar with this story in Exodus, the story of Pharaoh, and Moses and Aaron delivering the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage, you will know that God told Moses and Aaron to go and speak to Pharaoh, to let the children of Israel go. And that's what we have here in these chapters. We have Moses and Aaron going with the word of God and speaking to Pharaoh, and telling Pharaoh that they have a message from God for him, and the message is clear, let my people go. But you will notice that although it is Moses and Aaron that's speaking to Pharaoh here, Pharaoh acknowledges that it is the Lord that's speaking to him. And if you study these chapters, you will find out that on 10 different occasions, at least 10 different occasions, the Lord spoke to Pharaoh. Now, of course, you will know that the Lord also spoke to Samuel. Turn over with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And you will, I'm sure, notice as God's servant was reading down this chapter that on 4 different occasions the Lord came and spoke to Samuel. It says there in verse 4, the Lord called Samuel. That's the Lord speaking to the child. Now, he doesn't recognize that it's the Lord, because he runs to Eli and he says to Eli, "You called me, Eli. What do you want?" But although he didn't recognize the voice, it was the Lord that was calling Samuel. Look at verse 6. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. Look with me there at verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Look at verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times
Samuel! Samuel! Here we have the Lord coming and speaking directly and personally to Samuel.
So here's something else that these two men had in common. Although they lived hundreds of years apart, although they never met each other, although they never spoke to each other, there was a time in both of their lives when they heard the voice of the Lord speaking to them. Samuel four times heard that voice. Pharaoh at least 10 times heard the Lord speak to him. Oh, my friend, I wonder, as we are gathered in God's house this evening, and I'm sure for most, if not all, you've been in God's house before. You've been under the sound of the gospel many times. And again this evening, you're here listening to the preaching of the gospel. Have you ever heard the voice of God? I believe that you have. And I believe that the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight again. Thank God the Lord still speaks to sinners. How does the Lord speak to men and women today? He speaks through His Word. Through the Word of God. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is sharp and quicker than any two-edged sword. And praise God, when the preacher gets up to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ and preaches from this old book, the Lord speaks. The Lord speaks through the preacher. The Lord speaks through the prophet. You remember when David committed sin with Bathsheba, that God sent the prophet Nathan to deliver a message to David. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." And as soon as the prophet delivered God's word, David's heart was smitten because he realized and he recognized that he had sinned and done wrong. I wonder, as you sit in this meeting tonight and as you have sat under the sound of the gospel week by week in this place, I wonder, has the Lord ever drawn near to you and spoken to you? I believe He has, because the Lord speaks today. He speaks not only through His word, and He speaks not only through the preacher declaring that word, but the Lord speaks through circumstances. And of course, one of the great examples that we have in the New Testament of the Lord speaking through circumstances is the prodigal son. You remember how the prodigal left home. He demanded from his father the inheritance, and he packed up all that he had. He went into the far country. And as far as the prodigal son was concerned, you know, he wasn't going back to the father's house. He had no intentions when he left going back to the father's house. All he wanted was to get out into the world, to live in the pleasures of sin, and forget about the father's house. But then his circumstances changed. His money ran out. His friends left him. There was a mighty famine in the land. And the Bible says that he would have vain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And he found himself at the pig pen. And when he was at the pig pen, the Bible tells us, and you can read the story in Luke's gospel, that he started to think about the father's house. Why did he think about the father's house? Because his circumstances had changed, and the Lord began to speak to him. And my friend, there are times in the sinner's life when God will speak to the sinner through their circumstances. And I'm sure that we have all been there. And child of God, you and I have been there as well. And we can look back to that time when the Lord saved us and redeemed us. When the Lord spoke to us. And when He had to change our circumstances in order for us to listen. You see, when you don't listen to the preacher and you don't listen to the word, the Lord can change your circumstances. And the Lord can even bring you right down to the pig pen, in order to make you hear. Listen, my friend, tonight, the Lord loves you. He doesn't love your sin, but He loves you. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And the Lord tonight wants to bring you to repentance. And the Bible says that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. That's why we preach the word. That's why we exhort sinners to come to Christ.
And that's why the Lord comes and speaks to men and to women.
I have a brother, and my brother is saved. He got saved many years ago, but before he got saved, the Lord had to bring him very low. Before he was converted, he had a good job. He was engaged to be married. He had a fancy car. He had everything that this world had to offer. But he had no thought of God in those circumstances. And I said to him one day, I says, Colin, the Lord's going to save you, but the Lord's going to have to bring you down in order to save you, because you're not going to listen any other way. And he just laughed. And a number of months later, his whole circumstances changed. He wrecked his car. His girl left him. And he found himself walking up Portadown Street drunk. And his old circumstances changed. And in those circumstances, he sought the Lord. And he's going on with the Lord now. He's never looked behind him. That girl that left him went back to him, and she's now his wife. And the Lord has blessed him. But my friend, there are times when the Lord will speak through circumstances. Now I pray tonight that the Lord will not have to change your circumstances. I pray that the Lord will not have to bring you low. I pray tonight that the Lord will not have to bring you down to the pig pen like he did the prodigal. But oh, if it is to bring you to Christ and save your soul, far better that your circumstances change so that you come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What had Pharaoh and Samuel in common? Listen to me. There was a time in both of their lives when they didn't know the Lord. And there was a time in both of their lives when they heard the voice of the Lord speak to them. But there's something else they had in common. Turn back again to Exodus chapter 5. And you'll see, thirdly, that there was a time in both of their lives when they made a decision concerning the Lord. They made a conscious decision concerning the Lord. Now, in verse 2 of Exodus 5, we see Pharaoh's decision. He decided to reject the Lord. Look what he says. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord." Here's his decision. "Neither will I let Israel go." I'm not going to listen to the voice of God. I'm not going to obey the God of Israel. I'm not going to listen to this voice that's speaking to me. Who does he think he is? And my friend, the sad tragedy is today that there are men and women and they're sitting under the sound of the gospel and they don't know the Lord. They're still in their sins. And the Lord is speaking to them. And yet their decision is this: I will not have this man, Jesus Christ, to rule over me. Is that your decision tonight? As you sit under the sound of the gospel, as you have sat under the sound of the gospel now for many years and listened to the preaching of the cross, maybe there's someone here tonight and you come to this church and you've been coming to this church for years and you're still not saved. Your decision is, I will not have this man, Jesus Christ, to rule over me. It's a foolish decision. It's a foolish decision. What about Samuel's decision? Well, take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 there. And look at verse 10. "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Now, we've already said that when the Lord spoke to Samuel the first three times, Samuel did not know it was the Lord that was speaking to him. He thought it was Eli. That's why he ran to Eli and he says, "Eli, what do you want? For thou didst call me." And then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the child. Eli knew that it wasn't him that was calling Samuel, so he perceived that the Lord was calling Samuel. And Eli said to Samuel, "Samuel, listen to me. The Lord's calling you here. The Lord's speaking to you. And when you hear the voice again,
This is what I want you to do. I want you to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now just think. Just think for a moment. Samuel now knows that the Lord's calling him. Samuel now knows that the Lord's speaking to him. And as he goes back to his bed that third time, as he lays his head upon the bed, he's waiting for the Lord to speak. And my friend, he has a decision to make. He has a decision to make. Will he respond positively to the voice? Or will he respond negatively to the voice? As far as Pharaoh was concerned, he responded negatively to the voice. I will not have this man to rule over me. I will not let Israel go. Thank God Samuel's response was different. Because Samuel, when the Lord spoke to him the fourth time, Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now, friend, listen to me this evening. I know that salvation is a sovereign act of God. I know that. I know that salvation is of the Lord. There's not one of us here tonight that could be saved unless the Lord reached down and snatched us as brands from the burning. But the truth is this. If you're going to be saved, you've got to do something. You've got to call upon the name of the Lord. You've got to repent your sin. You've got to, by faith, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. All the work has been accomplished. The Lord Jesus Christ has died. He has shed his precious blood upon the cross. Thank God, he has cried, it is finished, and man's redemption is completed once and for all. And that sacrifice will never be repeated, because it's a once for all, never to be repeated sacrifice. But my friend, before you can be saved, before you can start your way to heaven, you must come to Christ. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The Bible says, today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. I wonder, is there someone in the meeting tonight, and the meeting's over? Is there someone in the meeting tonight, and you know you don't know the Lord, and you know that your sin is bringing you down to hell, for that's where it will bring you, my friend, right down into the lowest hell. But the Lord's speaking to you. Maybe he has spoken through the circumstances. Maybe circumstances have arisen in your life and you don't understand what's happening. Well, I'll tell you what's happening. The Lord is speaking to you. My friend, I can remember the night when I was saved on the 13th of September 1976 in an old tent on the Brownstown Road in Portadown. The Lord spoke to me. Now, I didn't know it was the Lord that was speaking to me. I didn't know what was happening to me, but I knew this. That I wasn't right with God. And I knew that I needed to be saved. And I knew that only Jesus Christ could save me. And I knew that before I left the tent that night, that I had to come to Christ. I had to repent of my sin. I had to trust him as my Savior. And that's what you've got to do tonight. Now, if you stay in your seat and do nothing, you'll go out of the meeting the same way as you've come in. If you're going to wait until light shine from heaven, my friend, you're going to be lost and lost forever. Faith is a simple act of putting your trust wholly upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you in the place called Calvary. Are you willing to take that step tonight? That step of faith. Only trust him, only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you. He will save you now. Pharaoh and Samuel had certain things in common. And friend, we have all these things in common. We were born into this world not knowing God. We have heard the voice of the Lord because we're all under the sound of the gospel. And even if you're hearing the voice tonight for the first time, you're still hearing the voice of God through the word of God. And you've got a decision to make. The work is done. The price has been paid. Praise God, the blood has been shed. But you must come. Will you come tonight? Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the precious word of God. We thank thee, Lord, for the scriptures of truth which are able to make men wise unto salvation. And O God, we pray this evening and we pray in our Saviour's blessed name, O God, that you would come and speak to hearts and draw men and women to the foot of the cross. We thank thee, Lord, that you're able to save to the uttermost all that come to thee through the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, is there someone here tonight and the Lord has spoken to you? Maybe the Lord has been speaking to you in past weeks, and maybe you're not far from the kingdom of God. Oh, my friend, we're here to help you, to point you to Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And while others are leaving, we would give you the invitation to wait behind in the meeting tonight. Now, waiting behind and speaking to us in itself will not save you, but my friend, you need to do business with God. You need to repent. You need to seek the Lord while he may be found. I'd like to speak to the Reverend Martin or Dr. Douglas or myself. We're here as God's servants. But please don't leave the meeting tonight without Christ. Come and trust him. Come and be saved for time and for eternity. And come tonight.